took me in coming in to get in the room.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Give us meow.
Meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. My name is Michael Dean. My voice is shredded. I'm sick as heck. But I am suffering for your art. This is Freedom Fiends episode 600. Sunday. You guys ready? It's episode 600 now. 700. Did I say 600?
700.
It's the 700 club.
It's the 700 club.
Woo! We're covered by BIPCOT, no government license, which means governments get the heck out of our treehouse. All right, BIPCOT.org. So I'm Michael W. Dean.
Stay away.
I'm talking to MK Lords. You there, MK?
Woo! Yes.
Woo. I'm and and who else is there? Diana? Kyler?
Yes, it's Diana Kyler, the laughing kitty. Meow.
Meow. Yeah, so I really am sick. I should not be in the air, but I couldn't not be in the air. It's the 700th episode.
That's right.
700.
And we tried. It's not just the two of us tonight. We have about 10 fiends that we're going to have on. But we tried having them all on at once.
Yeah.
The internet couldn't handle it. There was so much delay. It was.
We almost broke the internet.
We almost broke the Comrex. So it was weird. So we're going to do shifts. So this is the first shift. So what's up? You guys got topics, or we just want to talk about how great the fiends are?
Well, the fiends are just awesome. I was actually talking to Christian today about.
That's your boyfriend.
How that's my boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
And my boyfriend. And I was just talking about how, you know, when I first met him and I was really first introduced to, you know, deeper ideas and philosophies of libertarianism and voluntarism and that type of thing. And the fiends, Freedom Fiends, and as well as Anarchy Gumbo were definitely my favorite shows to listen to.
Why?
Over any other, over Free Talk Live. You know, because I think it had a lot to do with yours and Nima's dynamics
vibe
with each other.
Yeah.
With your vibes.
He's coming back slowly. He's going to be on this coming weekend, Saturday or Sunday.
So it was y'all's dynamic, and it was definitely humor combined with, you know, really important information and things that I was just appalled at and just wonderment at, and things that I just, you know, things that I kind of knew on a very vague level, and always, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, about how I always have known, especially in my adult life, that there's, you know, really it started in my teens, but just knowing that there's something wrong. There's just something very, very wrong, and not really being able to put
I knew there was something wrong since kindergarten. I really have, but I never really put it together that it all boils down to the state. But
to the
even
state,
in kindergarten, like, I was a conscientious objector watching the Vietnam War at age five, and I knew what that meant. It's the, like,
right.
And I knew that, like, you know, the president, I remember Nixon resigning and being like,
wait,
me too. The president's supposed to be the most bestest man in the world, mommy, what's wrong?
Right,
and she's like, well, son, it's complicated, which is, you know, what you say when you're in a weird relationship.
You and I were born and kind of grew up in a very volatile time. I mean, it's still a very volatile time, but I think this was the beginnings of true, kind of unrest. And
I was in my mama's belly when JFK was killed. That's like what I grew into, was born into.
Right. Yeah. So we were born in very chaotic times.
How about you, MK?
Yeah, well, I really like the Freedom Fiends because of the sense of humor. It seemed like such a breath of fresh air from all of the other activist stuff I had been involved in. And I kind of came from the left, like the angry left. I got involved in politics and stuff during the Bush administration. And so I had a lot of angst and a lot of anger. And even when I got into libertarianism and anarchism more so, I still kind of had a lot of that. But I loved finding the fiends and just being like, this is such a refreshing show, and it's on the radio, and it's so weird. Yeah, and I love weird stuff. So I was like, I have to figure out a way to, like, get on there.
That's right.
Really? I don't think you did that. You didn't consciously get on here. We picked you. How'd that?
I guess that's true too. But I love the show, and I was like, I need to figure out a way.
Are you just so Machiavellian that, like, you somehow made me think it was my idea? Is that what you did?
I remember maybe, us interviewing maybe. You on the Fiends at Coins in the Kingdom, MK. I remember
that's what it was. You were not a you weren't a regular host then yet, were you?
No, but yeah. I was a listener and I really enjoyed the topics and the sense of humor.
I think
and
Davi brought
what
you
it's
in.
Kinda helped. Yeah, Davi did actually. And I was so nervous at first, and over time, it's helped me with my confidence on the radio, my self-esteem, and even just communication skills and conversationally.
Did you just walk around punching status now?
Just with my verbal fists. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
But it's been such a good experience, and I have such a fun time doing it. And I don't want to. There aren't really many other radio shows I'd want to be on. We get to talk about anything here, and that's what I love, is there's so many different perspectives and so many different weird, off-the-wall topics you can talk about. And yeah. I just love that. It's such a great collective of people. I know you hate that word, but
I used it today. The Freedom Fiends are a collective, but not a leftist collective, and not a we have to share everything, but we kind of are. So, yeah.
Worms. I was completely
We're
blown
a network,
away.
A decentralized network.
I was completely blown away when you asked me initially to be. I think initially you asked me just to be.
You
a
were the biggest experiment,
times.
Like risk I took, because I literally like I barely I didn't know you. I knew everyone else a little better. I'd never heard you speak, but I'd been emailing with you, and I really liked what you had to say. And you're the biggest risk I took, and it was a good payoff because you were like. Immediately good. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. But I agree with MK about the, because I mean, it definitely has improved my confidence. I used to be much more timid, and it's within a year, my boldness has come out so much. I mean, I'll pretty much. Just, I mean, I get on my little soapbox
feisty.
Quite a bit now. Get a little feisty sometimes. Yeah.
We are feisty. Awesome. It's helped me channel my feistiness.
Yeah.
And I love how we have hosts all around the world, too.
We do.
I mean, it's not just, in one city or one state. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's just incredible to me.
Yeah. Truly international.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are, 700 shows. Awesome. 700 I feel very privileged to be a part of it.
We're the 700 Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know where the 700 Club gets
I tell
its
people
name?
I get to meow on the radio. It's
I know.
Great.
I know. It's meow therapy. Mm-hmm. You know the religious thing, the 700 Club, the TV show?
Yeah. Pat Robertson.
You know where they got the name, the 700 Club?
It has. Where? Didn't it have something to do with, like, there's supposed to be 700, like, saints or something like that? I don't. Yeah. It's
Nobody
not,
knows. Like I've lines. Asked, like, 10 people today, and they all have, like, interesting, plausible reasons, and none of them are right. It's because, okay, when that show started in the 60s, it was like on one station, and they owned the station. They bought a TV station.
Right, CBN or whatever.
Little TV station somewhere, and it was like, it cost $7,000 a month to keep the thing going. So they asked 700 listeners to each pledge $10 a month, and they got it. So that 700 people were the 700 Club. So I want to do that with the Fiends. I want to get like 666 people to pledge a dollar. If we did that, we could like pay people.
Sweet. Yeah,
so everybody, I want 666 listeners to each pledge a dollar a month so we can pay people.
So that's $666 a month.
Yep. Yep. And if you're Christian and you don't like
not
that, you know, send $1.50 and then it'll work out differently.
And you can't take a joke. Look, if you're Christian and you take yourself that seriously, then you need to calm down. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Simmer down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on?
Yeah, MK, what's going on?
What's going on? Oh, man, just hanging out. It's been a good day so far. I got to see an old friend of mine. Came into town. He's a pilot, and that was cool. We talked about libertarian stuff, anarchist stuff.
Pilot.
There's not a whole lot of other anarchists in the local area. No, it wasn't. But yeah, really, really neat. So there's not a whole lot of anarchists in this area.
You have to fly them in?
But kind of.
Chris Novoselic's a pilot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so is Boston Tea Party. Yeah. They both have little planes and
Nirvana.
Squirt around the country.
I've considered learning.
My daddy's a pilot.
I'd love to.
Pilot's not a bad thing to be, especially if you're like, you know, the world's coming to an end. I need to be able to bug out. Like, there's probably no better way to bug out in a natural disaster.
Yeah, fly.
You know, unless it's a hurricane and the winds are 180 miles an hour. But, you know, I mean, to get like when the highways are totally jammed, you could get out in a small plane and be 500 miles away in a couple hours.
So this is completely off topic.
Yeah, and with hurricanes, you see them coming for a while.
What you got there?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I watched a documentary this weekend. It's called The House I Live In. Have you guys heard of it?
No, sounds spooky.
Yeah, it's about the drug war. It's about the drug war, the war on drugs in the U.S. And it's primarily about that. But in it, I'm not sure if he actually created it, but it's the guy that created The Wire.
Oh, that guy's adamantly against the drug war. His problem is he's like pro-government.
He's pretty leftist. He's very leftist, but there are definitely some salient points in that movie, and it just blew my mind. There was a statistic in there that I knew that we had a hugely high prison population in this country, but did you know that, well, according to this documentary anyway, that 25% of the world's prison population is in the U.S.?
Yeah.
And the U.S. population only makes up 5% of the world's population.
Yep.
Let that sink in.
That stat is in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom that Nima and I made like 5 years ago. That was like, we bonded over that stat.
I forgot that.
I'm not saying everyone knows that. And most people don't know that. Yeah. But I'm saying I do know that. You know, you said, did you know?
Right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Put it in the movie.
Yeah. Oh,
it's amazing to see a number on it.
25%.
Because a lot of people don't know still.
No, I know. And it's just, it's insane. And then, you know, 500,000, at least 500,000 of the people that are in the U.S. that are in prison today are for nonviolent drug charges.
And you know what that stat doesn't even include is the people that are like still in the prison system, but not in prison, like on probation, parole.
Right, right.
You know, having to drug test, like being hassled by their local cops and watched, you know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it's something when I hear states talking about legalization and all, I'd like to see some follow through as far as releasing the prisoners if it does go through, or something like decriminalization. Because to me, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, I'm not for legalization, as far as I'm taxing marijuana or something like that. I don't think that's the best solution. But, you know, if you're going to have something like that, release the people who are in prison.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For real. I mean, it's ridiculous that, you know, to keep people in jail for that. So,
worms. I want to see Nuremberg trials for drug warriors.
Absolutely.
There you go. There you go.
Ian Freeman doesn't. He's like, oh no, just stop the drug war. No. MK and I want to see
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to
I didn't say it.
With worms. Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Restitution.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. This is Nima Vedati. I'm here with Michael W. Dean, James Babb, and the Bad Quaker, Ben Stone. Episode 700.
We're doing shifts.
700 episodes of
Phoenix. We're the 700 Club. We're doing shifts here, and I'm going to just go pee-pee kitty, because these three are awesome, and they've never, James Babb and Nima have never talked to each other, so let's do it up, guys. Have fun. I'll be back.
Yo. Hey, what James. An honor. What an honor to be on show number 700 with Nima, even. I mean, wow. You know, it's like, what an incredible opportunity. All the fiends are fantastic. All of Michael's weird friends are amazing in their own way. And I feel great to be associated with this cast of surly characters.
Hey, I got to interrupt. I got to interrupt for a sec here. We got a 4 years bad fiend behind the scene. DJ, go ahead. DJ, say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, DJ.
I don't know what I'm going to say except that I am very grateful to all of you for giving Michael something to do. You know, he needs this. He needs this, and I need it, and we appreciate you all. So thank you.
We all appreciate you too, DJ.
We do.
Ben.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I just feed and clothe him while you all entertain his mind.
You know, the other day, me and my wife Wheeling. Were in the parking lot by Walmart or something. We saw I saw a bumper sticker. It was Carpe something. It wasn't Carpe Diem. I think it was like Carpe Pesca, like seize the fish, because it was like a fisher guy. And I thought immediately Carpe Ursa, and I just said it out loud. And me and my wife both started laughing. Right, I was like, that's DJ's joke.
Good bet, baby. Oh, you want to talk more? No, well, dude, well, someone's got to leave in 2 minutes here. So, all right, you guys carry on. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Whose giggle is that? Episode 700. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. It is.
We all built that.
Yeah. And it's happened so fast. When did I leave? Like episode 3 something, right? Like it's
8 weeks ago,
since
I think.
I've left.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 weeks ago.
We did 24-hour shifts all day, you know, just
yeah, man. That's crazy.
This is more really anarchy on FCC regulated radio than ever before. I can't even believe they allow it. We're not even talking
about anarchy. We're just being anarchic right now in a good way.
Which is what they really fear, right?
Yeah. Spontaneous order. No, can't have that.
But well, thank goodness for Fiend Phone and this decentralized nature, or we would have been droned by now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've actually learned that it has a limit of 4 people connected at once, and that's it. Because right before the show came on, we had 12.
Derek Slopey, get back to work.
He said after Fiend Phone, he's going to work on it more and add encryption and make it more solid. Make it solid, then add encryption. Yeah, that's how you do it.
So when we do a radio show, they can't listen in to us. Wait a minute.
For what we're doing. No, so the after show. So they can't listen to the after show. That's what it's for.
Right.
Or the breaks.
I think one of the really amazing things about the Freedom Fiends is that all these different personalities make it so weird and different and odd.
It was so weird, this thing called life. Yeah.
It's great how we can come together, too, and reach some similar or the same conclusions coming from so many different perspectives.
James Babb's more radical than me.
Is he?
The three most radical fiends are James Babb, M.K. Lords, and Ben Stone.
Well, wait a minute.
Never let them get together again.
Who's not radical in the fiends?
I'm not.
Wait a minute.
You guys shocked me the other day. You're like, can we have this on radio? When Ben's going like, well, here's the thing. If you're going to break into an FBI field office, you need an exit strategy. That's radical. And I don't even co-sign that. At least I can't on paper on his face. I have to say, kids, don't try this at home. If that happens, on here. But I don't care what you guys say. It's your show and I'm not on.
We drag you into more radicalism, though. That's kind of...
Oh, I was like a Fox News guy polishing my guns when I met Nima.
Literally.
Literally. Literally. You came to my house for buffalo chili my wife made, and I was watching Fox News and polishing a gun when you came in. Literally.
Not a gun.
Like 15 of them.
You had all of your guns laid out like you had been planning all day and like
that's not
making
all
sure
my
this
guns.
Gun was right next to the coaster.
You think
and just
that's
set
all
the right
my
light.
Guns? Man, sheesh.
That's just the daytime guns.
That's just the daytime guns.
No, that's the daytime before Labor Day guns. You know what they say, 9 mil before Labor Day, 45 after Labor Day, because people wear thicker clothes when they try to kill you.
Especially in Wyoming. Yeah.
All right. They'll use a moose as a human shield.
Peace, fiends.
Peace, fiends.
Worms.
We're the Peace Fiends. Episode 700. All right. Worms. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Mm-hmm. Dobby Bucker.
Affirmative. For present.
Freedom Fiends episode something. 300. You're actually doing 4 or 5 shows this week, aren't you? I think.
Yeah, I think 4.
You haven't been on in a couple weeks, so it's...
Many more than that, and I'll start having to count with my other hand.
I know. It's so I got to play a couple clips here. This is kind of like, you know, when they have a... You know, when they have a roast.
And did I walk into a roast?
Yeah, and there's like, you know, some of the people are just too important to actually go to the roast, so they send a video. So I've got clips here, short 1-minute clips. So first one is from the Greens, who couldn't be here because it's daytime and they're at their jobs right now in Scotland, even though it's nighttime here. So here we go.
Hi, I'm Katie Green, and with me as always is my husband, Dan Green, and together we make up the Greening It podcast.
Yeah. Now, the Freedom Fiends is recorded at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Mm-hmm. And you might not know this, but Intergalactic Prairie Studios is huge, man. It stretches all the way from California right over here to the moors of Scotland.
It does. And what happened was one day Michael Dean was wandering through the halls of Intergalactic Prairie Studios and he ended up down at Erbit. Checking out tags, and he came across us both talking into one terrible, terrible microphone.
Yeah, and he obviously had to stop this madness.
He had to stop it immediately. He showed us the way to Creamy Audio and beyond, which led us to live radio.
Yeah, and we've loved that from day one. And we thank Michael for doing that, mm-hmm. because we would not sound as good as we do. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm basically a liberty guy because I want to leave people alone and I want people to leave me alone as long as no one's doing harm to anyone else.
Exactly. And for me, liberty is that, and also about being independent from the state as much as you possibly can. Doing things for yourself and the feeling it can give you is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So to the Freedom Fiends, we say happy 700th show.
And here's to the next 700.
Worms.
That was a beautiful thing, Dobby. Didn't you think so?
That was good.
They even
I had no idea Prairie Studios was so large. I've never, you know, like if I walked across the whole thing, the show would be over. So,
well, it's you. They mentioned the other. You're at one end. You're the California end.
I'm the Western Front.
Yeah. Well, there's also Young Nick, who's in the Pacific Northwest, and that's the other clip we have to play. His is shorter. That was 60 seconds. This is 30 seconds of Young Nick. Young Nick's almost brought a tear to my eye, this is so beautiful. I'm not only going to play it tonight. I think, like, I'm going to start having this in ad room, as an ad, when there's room, when we don't have ads to fill it. So here we go.
Hey, I'm Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been a Fiend fan for over 2 years. I used to be a minarchist libertarian, but after 3 months, Nima and Michael convinced me of anarcho-capitalism. I later called into Michael Dean after dark when Lucander and Michael were talking about privatization. I gave my 2 cents and I got a free microphone from the Fiends. Michael helped me set up my own podcast and gave me a spot on the Fiends. And I'm now the youngest Fiend co-host at 16 years old. I have my own podcast and I'm raising yaks and hogs. It's an honor and blessing to be here on the Fiends, and I wouldn't be where I'm at without them. Worms.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, there's a drone.
That's great.
There's a drone above my house. Can you hear it? It left. Okay. Yep. So, Dobby, you were pretty horrible when you first got on radio, and now you're amazing. What happened?
I was. I suppose I found my voice on the Fiends.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means exactly. It's sort
sounds
of ephemeral,
dirty.
But...
Can you say that on
dirty.
Radio?
I think I touch
my voice in special places on the radio.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I'm on like 7 different drugs, and none of them get you high. They're all like so I can breathe. They're all asthma drugs. And 3 of them are steroids, which sounds like, whoa, you're on... No, it's not the kind that pump you up. It's the kind that like make you insane, but make you able to breathe. So I may not be in my right head completely. So for the next 40 to 60 years. So, but I'll be able to breathe, which is good. Yeah, man.
I mean, it's definitely... Being a Fiend has definitely upgraded my audio. I practically have a little radio studio in my home.
yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. And it's been great for like interviews with other shows too. Like,
you shame the people you're being interviewed by? Because you sound so much
occasionally,
better.
You know, I just inform them of the objective lack of quality of the show. Occasionally,
do you inform them by telling them, or you just inform your sound is so good it informs to them that they're
I witness to them in the Quaker sense.
Yep, cool.
It's definitely given me an appreciation for audio in general. I learned recently that audio has an uncanny valley. Do you know what an uncanny valley is, right?
Explain when it comes it. To like, I've never noticed it with audio. I just think the better it sounds, the better it is, man, no matter what.
Well, so the uncanny valley is there's a line between a photograph of a person and a CGI version of a person where it's just not quite real and not quite fake enough that it makes you really uncomfortable. And for some reason, our brain prefers one that's either clearly real or one that's clearly fake. And so they call that space in between this uncanny valley. And this is where zombies fall in, right?
Yeah.
Is they're kind of human, but they're kind of not. So... I'm probably going to get the numbers wrong, but I think it's 20 megahertz is the lowest frequency that the human ear can detect.
You're insane. But 20 megahertz is like radio waves. 20 kilohertz is the highest most humans can hear. And about
maybe it's
16,
kilohertz is what I'm looking for.
And you said that's the what that people can hear?
The lowest range that people can hear.
Oh, the lowest range? You mean
frequency? I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, that's a pretty high range to be able to hear, because that's to be able to hear from subsonic to almost supersonic. Go ahead, make up your numbers, and I'll just let it pretend it's right. The idea is right. Go ahead.
So the idea is... let's see. So it's 19 kilohertz is below the audible range that a person can hear.
No,
but if you produce, well, that's just what I'm being told, man.
By people who are wrong.
What is HZ? HZ is hecazertz.
Hertz.
Okay.
Okay. So 19 hertz is below what people can hear. Like a bass guitar is like 45 hertz or something. The lowest string on a bass guitar.
So this is 19,000 hertz is either below or near the bottom of what a person... Kilohertz, yeah. 19,000 is kilohertz. Anyway, the point is, this tone, although difficult to hear, produces an uncanny feeling, supposedly.
Are you talking about the brown sound?
No, it's not the brown sound. This is like a... This
three
is like
cycles
a,
per second is supposed to make people poop their pants.
No, that's not this. This okay. is the like. This is the like deja vu, goosebumps, prickles on the back of your neck sound.
And it's what, 19 hertz?
Kilohertz.
No, 19 kilohertz you can't hear. Like,
exactly.
12-year-olds can hear it, but you and I can't hear it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm saying you can't hear this. This is in the uncanny valley of audio.
Oh. See, I don't. I think whoever wrote this thing you're quoting. Who wrote this thing you're quoting?
I have no idea. Somebody turned me on to this yesterday at a party, and I believed it because I was at a party, and everything people say at a party is true.
I would have been good to have at this party. I would have gotten thrown out of this party, proving this person wrong. See, I thought you were going to say, like, the Uncanny Valley to me absolutely has to do with quality and resolution. Like, you're talking pitch, which would be like, you know, well, if it's almost infrared, but still in the red, like, no, that's because to me, and I really don't think Uncanny Valley applies at all to audio, because I think the better audio sounds, the better people like it, no matter what.
19 kilohertz sound comes up in a bunch of Google searches, so I'm going to do some investigation and get back to you sometime this week when I'm on the show. Because I think if it's true, if this does give people a creepy psychedelic feeling, I think that's awesome.
You know what?
Not
generally,
psychedelic,
you know
it's like a paranormal feeling.
You know what's generally used for paranormal feelings are really low sounds. You know, there's actually like, you know, in 7.1 surround or 5.1 surround sound, 6.1 whatever they are, like where there's, you know, front, back, left, right, like multiple, you know, more like quad plus is how they do it these days, basically, like movies. Like there's actually like a subsonic track. Like there is a single track that goes to a subwoofer in your home stereo system that's like sounds you can't hear but can only feel. And there's people whose like job in Hollywood is like they're paid, you know, six figures to like do sound design for that one channel. There's a lot of it on like CSI TV shows like that, and a lot of movies have that kind of scary spooky thing. And you know what started it? You know what the first like theater experience with that was? The Sensoround speakers that toured with the Earthquake movie. Remember that in the 70s or no, it was before your time.
That's cool.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. So how do you get out of
it? Are you going to watch this new Earthquake movie?
No.
How do I get out of the Uncanny Valley?
Yeah, in your life. Like, how does it affect you in your life?
I'm not sure I understand the question. What do you mean?
I'm trying to pitch to you because I'm losing my voice, Davi, and I want you to talk about something.
Oh, okay. So I spent this party that I went to. This party that I went to was called an Artemis party. So Artemis is a video game that is an Enterprise Bridge simulator. So every player has the game on their own version, and they're each playing a different station on the bridge. So I was like a weapons officer, but there was also a comm officer, a science officer, a helm officer, and then the captain has a big screen TV in the middle of the room and no computer, and he has to play this game by delegating to the people at various stations. And it's great fun. But we learned very quickly that the captain is totally obsolete, and he really is just a drain on efficiency, which I think says something about hierarchy, that a crew of equals can navigate and play in a real world, or not a real world, but a real consequence scenario without a captain. And I just think that's a really cool kind of proof of concept.
Hmm.
We spent a lot of the time sort of dogging on episodes of Star Trek where this was sort of exemplified. Like, there's one episode where the Enterprise has to navigate very precisely through, like, a nebula field or something. And so the captain has to, like, really pay attention to the exact coordinates that he's going to navigate. But rather than just, like, going up and navigating himself, since he's supposedly the only one strong or smart enough to do it, he goes up and leans over the helmsman's shoulder and tells him what numbers to push. It's like your whole ship is on the line and you're gonna fly into a nebula, and you don't just put your fingers on the console yourself. It's an unnecessary overhead.
I found the Uncanny Valley on audio. Either the person explaining it to you had no idea what it meant and they were just trying to sound smart, or else
that's entirely possible. This was that kind of crowd.
Or else this is kind of a, or maybe that combined with a game of telephone where, like, he told you the mixed up version of it and then you added, like, purple monkey dishwasher at the end of it.
I never do that. Except always.
Always. We always do that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But the other cool thing about this game is that it was put together by a handful of just, like, geeks that were fans. It's not like a big company. It's not it's not even really a very well designed game. Like, it's almost like a flight simulator. It's low resolution.
Well, with the Uncanny Valley, like, there's what I'm reading about it is, I'm reading something that's a, like, Hollywood Sound Designers Forum, and they're basically saying, like, you know, when you make, like, in the new Terminator movies, the Terminator makes noises that are so synthetic, they're not nearly as cool as the old ones when they didn't have the technology to make them sound so robotic, you know?
Yeah, this is why most of the special effects in Mad Max are real.
Yeah, and in the new, like, the
You're
old...
listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
Yeah. So, meow. Chandler fell down a well, but he can talk for a second. What's up, Chandler?
Not much. I just wanted to say hi to all the fiends out there. And,
yep.
Just wanted to
How's
say...
How's it going?
It's going good.
That is some uncreamy radio audio there, brother.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not going to stay on long. I just wanted to say thank you to you and to all the other fiends for giving me the opportunity to hear my voice on radio.
Cool.
It's been quite a journey for me to meet all you cool cats and to not only talk about liberty, but live it.
All right, brother, so, man.
Worm.
Appreciate it.
It's great.
I'm madly trying to eat you here and can't get it anywhere good, but
yeah.
I'm going to have you drop off, but I really appreciate you coming on, man, and we'll get you fixed for next time.
Cool. Take care, everyone.
Appreciate having you on. Thank you. Worms. All right.
Worms.
And before we bring Hugo on here, I have a... I have another fiend phoning. Someone fiend phoning again. Jim Jesus is at work, but he sent this MP3, so here we go.
Hey, this is Jim Jesus, the misanthropic mongoose, and I'm calling from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. And unfortunately, I couldn't call in tonight because of technical difficulties. I'm on a heater at the casino, so...
What?
I just wanted to call in and say worms, and happy 700, and I hope you have a happy 700 more worms.
Yeah. Nice. He's cleaning his heater in a casino. Should we be worried?
No. That's what it sounded like.
That's
sounded
what
like,
I heard.
That's what I heard, too. All right. So, what's up, Hugo? Calling in from Mexico City. How you doing?
Well, calling in from rainy Mexico City right now, and I'm leaning towards the name. That, can we talk a bit about the wrestling name?
Yeah, what do you got?
Leaning towards the jet cockatoo. Yeah.
Okay, what's that mean? I know what a cockatoo is a bird, but what's the jet?
Well,
jet
it's black? Jet black because it's, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it also sounds kind of awesome.
It does.
Jet cockatoo.
It sounds like...
Yeah, because I'm from a tropical place, so
you have cockatoos kind of makes there? Sense. Does your cat chase cockatoos?
There's cockatoos in... Well, yeah, he tries to, but
they're
not
big,
really.
Fast.
But yeah, in Venezuela, where I come from, there's more parrots and cockatoos, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So everything's going fine here.
Cool.
Just... you know, taking some time out of some things at work to be with the fiends. And I wanted to say something about the fiends. You know, I already was an anarchist when I found the fiends, been since 06. But fiends taught me something, that anarchy should be shared and anarchy should be fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned through the fiends. And that's what I'm trying to give all you people out
cool,
there
man.
In the... intertubes and the radio waves.
So if you go to the Freedom Fiend site and look on the page that says co-hosts and showtimes, Hugo Gonzalez is now listed as the jet cockatoo. I want to make
Worms.
Sure I spelled cockatoo right. I don't want to. Yeah, I got it. Cool. I think my wife used to have cockatoos. She used to have, well, that just sounds wrong, but she used to have birds. Man, what is this icon I've never seen before? This creepy icon in the bottom right. Are you guys getting an icon that says, get Windows 10 showing up in your system tray on your right side? I am.
No.
That's creepy, man.
Is there a Windows 10? Did they skip 9?
They
what
did.
Happened?
They skipped 9 because...
They
tell
did.
Tell it, Hugo.
Well, I don't know why they did it. There's been some conspiracy theories around the technical issues with the name, with the numbering.
Yeah, like it would be
they
red.
They want this to be the last window.
Yeah, they're going to...
The last window version.
It doesn't mean they're going away. Here's what it means, okay? Like, if they had a Windows 9, there is some software that would misread it as, like, Windows 95 or not, you know? So...
Oh, like it would autofill.
Yeah, like it would kind of have a mild like Y2K problem with some software. So to skip that possibility, they went straight to Windows 10. And it is the last Windows version, but that doesn't mean like Windows, you know, Bill Gates says, I've made enough money, I'm going home. But it's more like it's they're not gonna have new versions, it's gonna be like a rolling update that I don't know if it's gonna cost money or not, but kind of how Linux installations work. Oh, I shaved
next
my head.
One will be called garage doors or boxes
it
instead
should.
Of windows.
I shaved my head today. I'm going to upload the
cool.
All right. We'll be back after this trip to the market and the news and the horrifying news. Top of the hour.
Worms.
Worms.
Thanks, Hugo.
Okay.
I'm not kicking you off. I'm just saying thanks. You can stick around.
Okay.
You sound good for being on the home internet.
For being on Central America.
Yep, Freedom Fiends, episode 700 continues after in 8 minutes. Worms.
Worms.
Worms. They're worms. El Worms.
La Lombriz.
Yes. Some fiends are starting to say that to me. Nope. Yeah. My.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Broadcasting from Libertarian Reeducation Center's Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, we alter your locus coeruleus with rejuvenated radio waves. Can you guys feel it? Seriously, can you feel it?
I sure can.
There you go.
I feel it.
Yep. Right,
it's the ghost frequency, isn't it? I can tell.
And we're covered by a BIPCOT license. Government, stay away. BIPCOT.org. So we are now joined by the ninth shift on episode 700 of the Freedom Fiends. We got Davy Barker, we got Derek J, we got Randy England, who's billing by the hour, so he's not going to be on long. So anybody else? Is anyone else on here? That's it. Is it? Someone else on
Yo.
Here? Oh, Lou. How long can you stay on, Lou?
Lou.
Worms.
Hey.
Hey, how long can you stay on, Lou?
I'm like a one segment guy.
All right, so
I have to get up early in the morning.
All right, so since we're having trouble with latency, why doesn't Davy bow out and tell the Davy? How long can you do, Davy?
I can do one segment, is what I
got. All right, so Derek J, why don't you bow out? Why don't you bow out, Derek J, and come back after the next segment? Because these three have to go, I think. All right, I think you already did it. So. Talk, y'all.
Derek is gone. Hello, this is Randy England.
Speak up, son.
Well, I'm here for the 700th.
I think we should do a comparative analysis. Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm here for the 700th episode with Michael's weird friends, which is just Davy and Lou right now. Is Lou on? I heard his voice a bit ago, and then
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Well, yeah, it's been just fantastic to be one of the Freedom Fiends, and even though, as DJ always says, we're the weird ones. One time I needed to write to, I think it was Daryl Perry of Peace News Now, did I say that right? And I introduced myself as a Fiend co-host, identifying myself. I said I was the normal one, and Daryl wrote back and he said there are no normal ones. So I stood correct.
And you know, there are some places in the world where saying that you're a Fiends co-host will instantly get you respect, but it's more often that it will instantly get you disrespected from people who have no idea who you are. But Daryl's not one of them.
Well, it depends. It depends.
Speak up, son.
You know, when my first connection with Freedom Fiends, actually, I didn't start as a fan of the Freedom Fiends. I started listening to Michael on his late night interview show. You remember Anarchy Gumbo, right?
Well, I think
Michael?
You were our attorney before you were a co-host, weren't you? And Davy was our graphic artist. Yeah.
Yeah. And when my book Free is Beautiful came out, I wrote to you and we ended up interviewing me for Anarchy Gumbo. And then we did another show or two coming up until the time that the Nighttime Fiend started up. I guess it was Michael Dean After Dark or something.
Yeah, Michael Dean After Dark just morphed into Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But Michael by that time had already had his little dust up with Mark Stevens, so he needed a lawyer to co-host the Fiends. And he was kind of stuck with me, I know. And that's, you know, how I ended up here.
This is news to me, but go ahead.
What was news?
I don't know who you're talking about. I've never heard of this person.
You don't mean the little dust up with Mark Stevens? Remember Mark the open Stevens. Letter?
Yeah. No.
Sure, the fellow who does the legal advice.
Mark Stevens. It sounds familiar. Is he? Does he work on that show, Halt and Catch Fire? Is he the director of that show?
I think he is.
Creator.
I think he has an internet show.
So anyway, move on. So, you know, past history, bad blood, whatever. You're here now, and that's what counts, brother.
I'm here. Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
So I think we should do a comparative analysis of Kung Fury and Fury Road.
I've never seen Fury Road. What is it?
Haven't seen it. It's the new Mad Max movie.
I'm telling you, man, these our computers are wanting to like update to Windows 10. I'm afraid they're going to do it while we sleep. You're not. You guys aren't getting this little window thing in the bottom right. It looks like four windows. It says upgrade to Windows 10.
Or else.
Or else. I know. That's how it feels. So Lou, what's up? I only get
updates.
Well, I want to share with you how I became a fiend, but first I want to do a little clarification. Randy, it's not that you're the sane one, it's you're just like the least weirdest of the bunch, which is kind of like being the tallest midget in the circus. But anyway.
No, so, I'm the tallest midget in the circus.
Yes, you are Uncle Fester.
Michael. He
oh, I shaved my head. Right. I'm going to post a picture right now. I look like Uncle Fester today.
But anyway, yeah, here's how I became a fiend. Going way back, the Freedom Fiends was the very first podcast that I had ever listened to.
You didn't know what a computer was.
I knew what a computer was because I found you had posted an episode on somebody's Facebook.
You wanted me to fax you the first internet. You wanted me to fax you Fiends episodes. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I listened and I just got into it like right away, and I wound up sending you and Nima friend requests on FaceBeast and calling in once you guys started doing the call in show. And
did you hear
became
the,
a blogger?
Did you hear the MP3 that Nick sent in that we played earlier? He talked about how you were part of his journey.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awful nice. Pretty cool. I was out in the middle of nowhere. They don't even have radio, let alone internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But anyway, so I became a blogger for the Freedom Fiends blog and what else? Admin of the Facebook page and
also lucrative.
And then eventually you sent me a microphone for doing the Fiend in the Field reporting and asked me to come on with the nighttime show, Michael Dean After Dark. And
yep.
Well, here I am.
Cannot be stopped. It's just inevitable. It's the march of anti-tyranny, man. Can't stop it.
Yeah. So I ultimately, you know, I gotta say, having met the other fiends and also you had turned me on to Ben Stone early on, and he nipped that Ron Paul nonsense in the bud. but it was just really great to become a part of the team, meet the rest of the team, and I gotta tell you, I love us.
I love us too, man. I really do.
Man, Michael, how long was it that you were pulling originally from the beginning there were what, a dozen or 13 co-hosts to the nighttime to the Freedom Fiends starting last?
No, there were like six, maybe? I think. Like
oh,
Michael
really?
Dean After Dark, and then like when that became the Nighttime Fiends, I think there were like six. But I was on every one. I got sick about January this year and have not been on every show and like wasn't even really on any shows for a month other than checking in and saying hi. But I'm feeling better. I'm not.
You're sounding better.
Yeah, I'm far from out of the woods permanently, and I will have to be careful the rest of my life. But I'm better. I'm not dying. I thought I was dying, but I'm not. Yeah, worms. Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, I remember, a month ago you were at like 30%. Now you're back to like 90.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Just listening, I mean.
Yeah.
Worms. Now, Lou, I was going to ask you, weren't you, as far as you coming into being interested in liberty, I mean, weren't you once an employee of the largest government agency on Earth? Or
the Army?
Thinking of someone else. Yeah, that was it. The Army.
Thank you for your food service.
Did you have these feelings back when you were in the Army, or when did?
Oh no, not at all. Not at all. Really? I was a good little German.
You don't talk much about that. You were a good little German.
Oh yeah, I would have just followed orders.
Ugh.
I was a statist, I was a neocon. I thought that I was fighting the Cold War to keep East Germany from coming over here. And, well, I look around and, Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren, it's East Germany.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back then I wasn't really thinking about liberty. I was thinking about limited liberty.
Liberty.
You know, what the Constitution folks talk about. Limited liberty.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. I've been up since like 6 a.m. my time.
Wow.
So you're coming from a constitutionalist standpoint for a long time.
So square.
Right. I was a constitutionalist. The only thing is I'd never read it, just like the rest of the constitutionalists.
I was square too, Michael. Although I was a minarchist constitutionalist for
constitutional liquor.
40 years I was a minarchist constitutionalist. I hated the government and everything they did, but I kept thinking that maybe I could get a hold of it and make it do what I wanted.
Yeah, there's a channel on YouTube I listen to a lot but uses a resource. It's like, I forget what it is, but it's like, how do you pronounce that or something? Like, all they have is these like 10-second videos of how words are pronounced. And they did one recently of minarchist, and they did it wrong. And I posted a comment. They pronounced it minarchist. And I'm like, what is that? Like, Mein Kampf minarchists? Minarchists. That's so wrong.
Like,
man.
From the word minimum, right?
The minimum, yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Have you guys noticed the spell check doesn't recognize minarchist?
Yeah, it thinks it's...
Minarchist is a sort of made-up word. I mean, isn't it...
All words are made-up.
Made up by libertarian... No, but I mean, like, recently, it wasn't made up by libertarians to make... I mean, it's sort of like status. Like, status has parlance with conservatives.
No, you're wrong. Okay, minarchist was made up by Mark Edge. Let's just say that. It's not true, but it's very contemporary. It was made up by a libertarian, I guarantee it. Statist is a political science term. It's not made up by libertarians.
Really?
It basically means anyone.
It was made up by one of Marx's buddies.
It means anybody who's not an anarchist. Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, minarchist. Yeah, status. Status means, yeah, anyone who's not an anarchist.
Yeah, back when Marx was trying to figure out how to bring about world communism and all this other nonsense, there was some other commie goofball that he was talking to, and they're debating on whether to use the state or not use the state. And
yeah,
the other guy says, well, if you're going to use a state, then you're a statist.
Yeah, it can take many forms, from minarchism to totalitarianism. It's a political science term, the belief that the state should control either economic or social policy or both to some degree. Yeah. Although this article on Wikipedia links the term minarchist like it's a real word. Apparently,
it's a
political term, too.
Spell check doesn't recognize minarchy because even spell check knows it's ridiculous.
That's funny. Yeah. Spell check
is true.
Spell check's relying on stolen authority.
You know, if an anarchist wants no state and a minarchist wants a little state, then is there such a word as a maxarchist or?
Yeah, it's like.
It's called Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, or, you know, National Socialists.
It's called Republicans, Democrats, and Libertarian Party.
I thought this was going to be a really funny joke. I thought Randy was setting it up for a... It reminds me of some joke. What is it? If this and that, then should somebody fear the something? What is that joke, Lou? You know it?
Oh, by now, you know I'm not funny.
I have no idea. Besides my brain shut off.
Okay.
All right. Nice chatting with you. I'm out of here.
Take care, brother.
Hey, Lou.
Worms.
Boings.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. 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 Freedom Fiends.
sound great.
Hey,
congratulations.
I'm getting better slowly but surely. I'm still sick if I'm not on a lot of inhaled medications, but I can walk and talk and squawk now. I'm good.
I kind of missed the computer voice. It was kind of cool having you pipe in as computer text voice.
Yeah, I think that got old, though. But it is the 700th episode, and we were talking about the fact that the first time I smoked the marijuana, you were like, well, you used to do drugs, right? And I'm like, sheesh, man. I used to do so much drugs, I make you and Derek J combined look like virgins. And actually, the first time I smoked marijuana was about, probably 15 miles from Rogers Campground. It was in New Lebanon. Do you know where that is? New Hampshire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in New Lebanon, New Hampshire. It was in 1975. I was 11 years old. And you asked me if I liked it and laughed a lot. And I was like, no, man, ask me on the air what happened. And I'm telling you on the air what happened now, since you didn't get a chance to get a word in edgewise yet. I immediately acted like an addict. The first time I took drugs, I stole pot the second day after I spoke.
What? That's unheard of.
From a family member. Like, from my
sister.
Did
you have to? Like, if you asked, you wouldn't have gotten it? You had to steal it in order to get it?
I didn't even care. And I wasn't even, like, a thief. I never stole anything, man. And I was like, I smoked pot, and I was like, my precious. And I stole some, man. And got caught.
But wait, that doesn't explain what the first time was like, right? Like, you're saying you stole something the next day.
Yeah, what was it like? I don't know. Pot was really weak in 1975. I felt it. A lot of people didn't feel pot the first time they smoked in the 70s. A lot of old people have stories like that, but that doesn't happen.
That's still the case.
Is it really?
I hear that's still the case, yeah.
Pot's like 27 times stronger than it was back then. Like, one hit, you can't not get hot. If you don't inhale, maybe.
I don't know what it is about, if it's a pot thing or if it's a chemical thing, but I was affected very strongly my first time. It's
20 to 30 times stronger than it was when I was smoking it. When I was smoking it in the 70s, average pot was 0.5 to 1% THC by weight. Really killer, like, right home to your friend's pot was like 3%. All the pot in the medical dispensaries now is like 20%, and the legal pot in Colorado, there's a couple breeds that are bred to be that are 33% THC. So it's like 30.
You know, you got to hand it to the black market. I mean, even without legalization, the black market did bring the potency of marijuana up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, it was like people that actually knew something about botany got involved. You know, it wasn't just, I'll throw some seeds in the backyard and see what happens.
That works, too. Well, I'd like to see politicians start using that excuse that the pot. Pot's not, like, yeah, of course I smoked pot when I was younger, but that's nowhere near the
pot. They do use that excuse.
They actually say that? It's like well, you know, the pot today
working,
is...
We have to ban it. The market's working. We have to prevent it. No, there was.
I thought they just outright deny it.
There was some Michigan law. I don't know if it was passed or tried to pass it, but it was basically like enhanced, you know, for like having really good weed, you'd have enhanced sentencing. Do you guys know about that?
No, I hadn't heard about that. Well, yeah. Like the different kinds, like cocaine and crack, it sends differently.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that's ridiculous.
That
hey, so
hey, Randy,
happy 700, yeah. Michael.
It's the 700 club.
Coincidentally, I hear that's the number of microphones that Michael has bought for other people, so he can bear to listen to the audio.
It is. No, but it's definitely. I've definitely spent $700 on equipment for Fiends.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because something else that that has come out of the Freedom Fiends and Michael's giving towards the community has been Rebel Love Show. It was Rob Mathias is a huge fan of yours because you kind of held his hand through setting up his equipment, and his show sounds great. So, how many shows have you touched, if you will?
Not that many, really. I think the only people I've done it to are other who aren't fiends. Well, Ben Stone, I did it before he was a fiend. That's how I met him. I was like, man, your show's great. Mm-hmm. You don't sound very good. Let me help you out and give you some advice. And he ignored me for like 6 months, but I kept bugging him, and finally he returned my calls. Now we're best friends. But Rebel Love Show too was like the same thing. Like I heard them on LRN or somewhere, and I was like, man, these guys are pretty good. But and they didn't know me from Adam either, and neither did Ben. I just like I called them up. Mm. I was kind of bored one day too. It was like it was kind of altruistic, but it was kind of like selfish. It was kind of like I need to entertain myself. So
well, I mean, for me as the program director of LRN.FM, it's also something that I've done. You know, people pitch me shows.
Yeah.
And if it sounds bad, I'm like, you need to do this and this and this. You're not getting on.
Yeah. Well, I have a video now. If you got a Creamy Radio audio, you can just send them there and tell them to click on the mixer over the right. And there's two videos that tell you everything you need to do to set up a show and make it sound good, cheap. Caviar sound on a cat food budget.
Congrats, brother. I'm going to sleep.
Worms, man. Thank you for your service.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Women at Michael's Standard Orgy. This is the Freedom Fiends reconvening for the second hour of our very special 700th episode with me, Randy England.
Yeah, so we're back. This sounds like a normal Sunday night with Derek J. And
yeah, we've put all the other fiends to bed, and we've taken the show back from the clutches of the government.
I just called in for episode 700 to say hi, and I got drafted, so here I am. But
yeah, well, I'm broadcasting from Fiend, New Hampshire.
Yeah, by way of Wyoming, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael's still running the show, even though he's not with us right now. But during the break, though, Michael referred us to his Twitter feed, which was... you know, Freedom Fiends is what it is, to see his new haircut. And I don't think it qualifies for a haircut because he shaved his head. It's bald and pretty cool. With just a little bit of stubble on there, you know, so you could, well, I want to rub it, but I can't because I'm a long way off. What do you think?
He looks very handsome. He's self-described as an Uncle Fester looking dude, but he's got the shades on. He's got the bad attitude face, and it's all working. It's looking good. I was real nervous when you said you shaved your hair because you've got these long golden locks. You're like Thor.
I know.
And I was wondering why would you do a thing like that? But when you said it was hot,
I'm like,
and
Thor.
Maybe your sunglasses were looking funny.
Thor's chubby uncle.
No, Thor, the punk rocker.
Yeah, Thor's gone though, but it's still good.
Lou just commented on this photo, Uncle Fester, but he might be listening, so I don't know.
Uncle Fester was he completely bald?
Yeah, he was pretty cool too. Okay. I liked Uncle Fester.
Yes, he was.
He's interesting. Yeah.
Yo, Michael, I got to tell you, The Fiends has changed my life. The Fiends is the best show on radio, and it's the group of friends who get the bad relationship that you're in with the state. Like, for me, I'm in a bad relationship with the state, and all the rest of my friends, you know, all the rest of the people on radio, they'll just tell me to stick it out, to keep trying to talk it out and work it out. But, you know, my Fiends friends get me and get all those other anarchists out there who are, like, just done with this relationship that they've got with the state. So you guys are living free today and just listening to the Fiends having fun and celebrating that we are all born free was so refreshing and has been a real improvement in my life. So thank you for making the Fiends what it is.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't really see the state that much. I might be, you know, you could say I have blinders on or something, but I just don't see it. And it's cool that y'all do that, all that activism in New Hampshire, but I'm like, my God, you people talk to the state, get poked by the state a lot. I'm like, I've lived here in Wyoming for like 6 years, I think we're going on DJ and I, and like, I've talked to the police three times. It was like once we pulled over for a traffic ticket, and, you know, another time, like, no, and it was another traffic ticket, and then it was like renewing our, you know, concealed, it was getting our concealed carry permits. That's the only time I've talked to the police in 6 years.
Yeah, man. And the fiends have reminded me that that's what it's about. Like, you don't have to interact with the state.
You don't have to go looking for it.
Live free, live your life. Yeah, yeah. So it's been so refreshing and empowering, too, to remember that my freedom isn't dependent on winning it from these oppressors, you know, that I can just do my thing in my own way.
You've done a good fight, though.
Oh, thanks. It's not like I'm throwing in the towel or anything.
I know. You're not
just like
you're not announcing your retirement from activism tonight.
No, but the Fiends is this safe space of you know, anarchic thought, where it's like you don't need to do or be anything, just live free.
It's the state rape free zone.
You know, Derek, as long as you own a motor vehicle, you won't be free of them. But I feel like Davi should be here so he could coin a term for this. I'm thinking this isn't good enough for Davi. DSU, like what it, you know, departing from your state of origin or something.
It's not my state of origin. They would do better.
Yes. But Derek and I have been on several Sunday shows, and it seems like every show we got on ended up me asking him about his latest court appearances and what he was trying, what he might be trying, and that sort of thing.
You know when my last court appearance was? Yeah. 1991.
That was your last court appearance?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I was a heroin addict. I was breaking like felony laws every day. And my last.
So were you in court a lot back then?
No, I've never been in court. I've been in court once. I've been in court. Oh, okay. I went with a friend to traffic court in Texas one time, but that's not really me being in court.
Nah, that doesn't count. Come on.
Yeah.
No, I do so
to go to
many.
Court.
Randy goes to court every day.
I'm in court so often. Every time I do an episode with Randy, he sends me a bill. He's giving me all kinds of advice.
I know. At first, yeah, like, Derek, I like Derek, the speak up, Randy.
Derek pays me the same thing that Michael does.
I know. The first time I threw you guys on the air together, you know, I was like, "Have you ever done a show with Randy?" And you're like, Derek's like, "I don't know who's that. I don't know. Oh, I'm not that excited. I don't know who that is." And I'm like, "Dude, you are constantly in need of legal advice. Randy's an attorney. You can talk to him for 2 hours for free about the law and ask him questions on the radio." And you're like, okay.
Yeah, but I remember with Randy, I thought what I was going to pin him on, I was like, oh, this guy's Catholic. I am going to drill him on the gay issue. I am going to bring that one home. I'm going to make him squirm.
Randy was hitting on me during the break.
Okay. Yeah, he was impervious to all of it. He's just so cool and relaxed.
Perv.
Oh, come on, guys. Well, leave me alone.
Okay, we'll leave you alone.
Now I am embarrassed.
I know.
Yeah, 700, the number of listener complaints the average radio station gets after carrying the Freedom Fiends.
It's true. Didn't you used to date Lou Rockwell, Randy?
No.
That's just so wrong.
When Lou Rockwell was a woman?
I was just kidding. Friend. somebody just sent me a Puff Puff Doge. I don't know what this is, but I'll like it.
I like the phrase peace fiend. I heard that during one of the previous segments.
I may have a good one today. It's fiendsy and economics.
Is that good or bad?
It's okay. Good. Is that really any different? Hopefully it's very different from Keynesian.
Well, somebody spelled Keynesian like Keene, New Hampshire. Keynesian.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, yeah, Fiendsian. I don't know. I don't think I want to adopt that. It's kind of like trying to make up a nickname that rhymes with molester or something. I don't think I want to do the Fiendsian.
So you gotta help me, no. Michael. I want to gently let down. See, you've caused a problem, and now you have to solve it. So now my standards for audio quality are so high after using Fiend Phone and investing in good microphones. Other people have asked me to be on their podcast, and I've started turning them down.
No, you just shame them. MK was talking about this earlier. You use Skype, you go on, and you sound so good. You just shame them. Without even saying it, you bring it up every 15 minutes. Like, yeah, I'm a graduate of 15 minute drive by audio school with Michael Dean. You're not. You suck. I'm great.
I think that's the solution. Okay, thank you. I will use shame.
That's how the
Bipcot license is enforced.
Drive by audio 15 minute drive by audio school. Yeah, man. Yeah,
Is that the good one or the bad one? That can't be yours, Michael.
I just made that up. I like that. Bipcop. Yeah. I think you should. Here's what you do too: is you should, you could, when you go on other people's shows, ask them and encourage them to put their show out Bipcot license, and if they don't want to, say, "Well, okay, that's cool, but my portion, my talking on it, has to be covered by the Bipcot license." So when you get on the show at the top, you say, "Well, they're saying this is Creative Commons or whatever, but my license supersedes that for my talking." So my portion of this broadcast is covered by the Bipcot license at bipcot.org. And yeah, I think the Bipcot license could be adapted to shame non-statists about their audio somehow, too.
Yeah, if they don't like it, I'll play old episodes of the Freedom Fiends. Where
Are there people who ask you to come on their podcast that actually want you to talk over the headset on your cell phone? Is that it?
Oh yes, that absolutely happens. I wish blog Skype were an radio option on this one. Yeah, seriously, it's a little better than blog talk, but I won't say the name of the podcast. But it did happen recently, say Randy. It. Where I was shame asked him. To use a, I was asked say to it. Use a cell phone. Nah, I won't do
and
it.
And you're just
it,
wanting to step
was
up.
It voluntary values?
Mentioning.
Was it something on Voluntary better, Values right? Network?
No.
Some of those.
Well, actually, I don't know if good. They are. Maybe they are connected.
Who are
they? Yeah, it's one of those other shows.
One of the other 700. The other 700. Freedom Feet, the other 700 podcasts about liberty.
Yeah. No, 700, the number of audio dropouts per hour in those other shows.
There's only like 5 radio shows or podcasts that are really good. It's Free Talk Live. There's whatever Derek Day is doing this weekend or this week. There's Freedom Fiends. There's Ben Stone, but he's retired. He's just a fiend now. He's the weekend fiend correspondent. Nima V's coming back this weekend.
It was so good to hear Nima back on The Fiends earlier on this episode. I was cringing a little bit. I was like a schoolgirl hearing. He's the only fiend doing some good around here. If I could be perfectly honest, he's the only one of us actually making the show bus proof. We should all be getting to work.
By having a kid?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. His kid might turn out to be a statist. People rebel against their parents.
Right, maybe he had the child who will one day be
the
arch villain. He will be the arch villain to the fiends. He will kill all the fiends. That's what he's born to do.
he's going to strangle us in our sleep. He's saying that Lily is the Terminator of the fiends.
because
then his grandkids will come back from the future and stop her.
Babies are always born wanting to have their own way. Babies are always born wanting to have their own way.
Radio show.
And they won't they won't rebel from that. I think that anarchists have a much better opportunity to have their children.
Are your kids anarchists, Brandy?
To tell them to go to heck. Pretty much. I have 4 kids. A couple of them are pretty hardcore libertarian.
Cool, man.
And the other ones are pretty skeptical about the state anyway.
Good
Still
for
working
you.
On them.
700.
Yep, 700. Yeah.
Meow.
Meow.
Worms.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Final segment. Freedom Fiends episode 700. Yeah. So, we're talking about Kung Fury, I guess. Great movie. Crowdsourced, came out two nights ago, has 48 billion views. Derek was the third person to view it. Right, Derek J?
Thank you, free market.
Yeah, so...
for providing. Yeah, I think one of the coolest things about this movie is, like, the original way that it was financed. I've been waiting for video artists to figure this out for a while Hollywood is complaining, oh, we can't squeeze enough money out of people. Here, this movie was crowdsourced by people like, here, let's start making a movie, put up a trailer, ask people for more money for it. And it was financed, it happened, it came out for free for everyone, and now the creators don't have to worry, oh no, what if people copy this movie and share it with their friends?
I know.
That's great, it's more publicity for them.
Well, you know, Steve Albini, who I interviewed in the DVD extras of DIY or Die movie, who, punk rock engineer extraordinaire, going back to his band Big Black, but he also, like, engineered a Nirvana record. That's why most people have heard of him. He did Insecticide, I think it was. But he just basically came out today, like, and he's like a kind of A-list producer, you know, engineer, record engineer. And he came out today and said, like, copyright is dead, basically, which is pretty awesome. You know, Kung Fury, I've said this before, I'll say it again, but it's only been out 2 days, so it's kind of new to a lot of people listening. If there were an award, like a Punk Rock Academy Award, for the most DIY thing that anybody did that year in filmmaking or art, one aspect of Kung Fu, Kung Fury would win the award if I were on one of the judges.
Aspect is that?
The fact that there's a scene in that movie where, when he's getting fired in the police station, you know, the kind of like, you wrecked a city block, you're fired, you can't fire me, I quit. And he puts his badge down, then he goes out and solves the crime himself as a private citizen. You know, cliche, you've seen it forever. It's in that movie. In the cop shop, there's like 20 cops in the background. They're all different people, extras, like, you know, typing, filing, doing stuff, answering phones. They were all shot separately and green screened because the guy only had enough money for one cop outfit, one cop uniform.
Whoa.
So he just had 20 different people wear the same uniform and filmed them separately and put them all together working in the office. That is mind blowing.
I noticed something was a little funky. Yeah, I mean, like, in that scene where there's the camera's sort of in motion. Yeah.
That's how he did the Nazis.
It's sort of like a byproduct.
The Nazis are like 5 people, but it's a crowd of 1,000. Yeah.
Yeah, the movie sort of gives you that impression, like, oh, maybe this whole thing was just green screened and then a bunch of layers were thrown on top of it.
Yeah.
But it also, I was wondering to myself, like, is this director going to keep this style when he makes more money? Say he gets millions of dollars, like, this would still be a cool style to re-emulate, even with all that money. I mean, just keep it, reinvest it somewhere else. But it looks like a side-scroller.
I kind of have a feeling money would not wreck it, too, because it was not that low budget. It was $600,000 for a 30-minute movie, which is not that low budget, but he was paying a lot of people to help on it. And here's the thing. I think what lots of money, millions would do for him is allow him to make one of these a week. Kind of like South Park. Like, they still look like the first South Park, which was made with felt stop animation, but they can make one a week now, you know?
Right. Hey, what gun are you holding in the image for this episode?
Oh, it's a 38 Special Charter Arms. I think. I haven't
read Worms. It.
But he added the worms.
There's something missing. There's something missing from this this image, and maybe you can get Davi to add it in. But are you gonna pencil in your eyebrows?
I don't have eyebrows. It's a Charter Arms. It's the UC Light, your Undercover Light 38 Special. I think it's UC stands for because isn't this his gun too? He has the same gun, right? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. All right, so
the eyebrows are a Sid Barrett.
My eyebrows. I'm not crazy. I didn't shave my eyebrows. It's not Pink Floyd the Wall. My eyebrows have fallen out over the past 10 years. Like, here's the, and you know, it sounds weird and creepy. Like, oh my God, you got to do something about that. But you know what? I'm 51 years old. I still pretty much have a full head of hair, and I can get it up and do it all night without little blue pills. I don't care if my eyebrows fell out. I'm doing better than most people my age.
Does sweat get in your eyes?
Yeah, no.
I'm just busting you.
I know. So there, worms.
I'll do your eyebrows.
I'll mail you the hair I cut off me today, and you can do it at Porkfest in front of everybody. Great show, guys. The music industry is a parasite, says Steve Albini. Worms. Great show, 700th, man. Thanks, guys, for your cervix.
Love you, fiends.
Love y'all.
Love being on. Let's go on to 701.
Let's go to 7,000.
Let's do 900. 1,000, 2,000, 10,000.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot heroin on the 1,000th episode on the air. I'm going to relapse after like 30 years. I'm kidding. I'll pay a hooker to do it next to me.